Parak Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. We have right over here
Yud
Zayin. Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay, so it says right over here Molech. The last thing we said was that unfortunately, he said nothing's going to be unlocked. We're not going to be able to see God's viewpoint. What's the point? So then he says Yud Zayin Molech Yoatzim Sholol. Okay, so he's bringing the advisors, the people that are advisors, as if Shalol totally astray, v'shoftim yolol, and he causes all the judges to be foolish. Obviously, we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. He makes people seem like they understand it and whatever it is, but we're fallible men. There's no way for us to fully understand what's happening. Musar malachim piteach, he opens up the chains of kings. In other words, even if a king chains the person and it seems like it's going to be set and that there's no way for this guy to get out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to open the Yesor Ezor b'masneihem. And then also a binds a belt upon their loins. These kings who nobody can rule over and they're in charge of everything and they do everything that they want to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do anything to them and destroy them and make it whatever it is, right? And that's that. I guess you could say the following. I don't know if this is a full idea of what he's trying to say, but like if you look at some of the laws that were created like 100 years ago that are in law books in like Illinois and whatever it was, they're hilarious. Some of the laws are absolutely hilarious because they don't make any sense in the way that we look at them. They're made by human beings, and just there's no way. You have to wonder.
A lot of them were based off of like religious observances.
Exactly. It's just something that no longer applies anymore, right? Something that's not there. I think that's one of the main reasons for the call to arms, right? Which one? The Second Amendment? Where everybody has the right to bear arms? Question is, does that apply nowadays? Does that only apply back in the day in the revolutionary times?
I think it would apply even more so now.
Ah, there you go. There we have a pure Republican on our hands. But the question is just that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show this. Another example that could be used is the way Rav Schwab says it is, certain physicians, when they come up with something that's able to use to heal a sickness or whatever it is, and it works perfectly at the time, but they don't realize the side effects. And in the end, you become worse than the way you were beforehand. Now, at the time, that was a great bit of chokhmah. Even then, it's a great bit of chokhmah. But yeah, you look at bloodletting, and you think, like, how in the world? But those accepted practices, things that were just obvious, are totally obsolete. Like Aristotelian theory is barely used anymore, but that was the way the world ran for almost 1,700 years. Without a question, you went against the church if you went against Aristotelian theory. That's the idea.
No, Aristotle held that the universe always existed. The church held that it was created.
Not that part. You are right. But geocentric theory, for example, right, was Aristotelian theory. Those types of theories of Aristotle, right? If you went against it, Copernicus and Galileo, and you know they were going up against everybody when they said it. Molochwanim sholol, he leads the priests astray. Chas v'shalom, we should never see this by the Rabbanim, but unfortunately it happens where you have people that are in charge or people that are in places of power that are led astray and allow themselves to give in to their passions, to their desires. They sanim yisaleif, and even the mighty, he twists them around and does whatever he wants with them. Meisir safa l'ne'amonim, he removes speech from the people that are faithful that are trying to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tam zekenim yikach, and he takes away the mind of the wise. Those people that are zekenim that are supposed to be so wise, he takes them away. Now this pasuk is used when reference to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If anybody read the Gemara's about the Chorban, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai went to Vespasian, was able to have a talk with Vespasian, and he couldn't answer him properly. Why didn't you kill the Baryonim and come out to greet me if I really am the king, said Vespasian. To which Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, I wanted to save the Baryonim. He should have said, I wanted to save the Baryonim and come and greet you, and I couldn't do it that way. Right? That's what he should have said, but he didn't say it properly. When he was told by Vespasian, I'm going to leave and I'm going to bring somebody else in my place, he eventually brought Titus, his son, to take over Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, give me three things. Give me the kingdom of David HaMelech, right? Give me a healing, a refuah for what's his name? For Reb Tzadok. And give me a Yavne and Chachamech, right? Everybody says, what was he thinking? Why didn't he ask for him to leave Yerushalayim and not come back? In other words, give us the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, maybe he knew he wouldn't listen, but that's Meshib Chacham Mahor. This line of Tam Zekenim Yikach is used in that way. Shofech Buzan Zivim Miziach Afikim Riba. He pours shame onto the people that are noblemen, right? And he loosens the belt of those that are considered powerful. Megala Amukos Minichoshech. He uncovers the deep secrets from the darkness. That's the famous Sefer, the Megala Amukos. If anybody's seen that Sefer, I wish I understood a word of that. Megala Amukos writes down out of the 515 Tefilos of Moshe Rabbeinu, how to get into Eretz Yisrael and Parshas Voschan, and Voschan is 515. He writes down 248 of them, what they were and how they apply into the word Voschan. Brilliant.
Where did he get it from? And number two, what happened to the other
couple?
The other 200 and
couldn't get it. I don't know.
When did he live?
500 years ago.
What was it?
Around the times of Arizal. I forgot. It's in the Megala Amukos. I could probably look it up, but we're talking like big time Mekobo, Right, really, really big damn kovel. Mini choshech out of the darkness, yotzil or tzalmavis, and he brings out the shadow of death into light. Masgi lagoyim, this is a weird word over here. He removes by the nations what the nations want. Vayabdeim and destroys them. Shoteach lagoyim ayanchein. He spreads out the nations and leads them astray. Meisir lev rosh ama oretz. He removes the heart of the heads of the ami aratzim, of the people of the land. Vayasem besol odarch, and leads them into emptiness in which there is no road.
Rabbi Natan Spira.
Rabbi Natan Spira. That makes sense.
Lived in Poland.
Yeah, Europe. Yeah, there we have. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants, and this is what Eov is trying to say over here. Right? Eov goes on, Yimashu Choshech V'Lo'or. They feel for the darkness. There is no light. Vayasein Kashikor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads them like drunkards in the middle of nowhere, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Hinkora Se'inei Shama Ozni V'Tavin La. So anything that happens, whatever he calls... am I saying this correctly? This is the next paragraph over here. Vayasim Kashikor, and allows them to be wherever it were. So the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all these ideas, everything that he could do, all this power and everything, and it seems to be contradictions. It seems to be ups and downs in the world. It seems that there's hopes and disappointments when really HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created a perfect world. But Eov's line is that I don't get it. And remember, this is after everything that's happened up until now, he says, look, I get it. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. I understand how much power he has. I get what he's done and what he's able to do. I don't understand the why, and I just want to know a why. That was the line that he was trying to say over here, and all the power that he has. Now he says, "Kidaitcham yodati." Everything that you have known, that you guys are telling me, that he said to Eliphaz and Bildad Ashuchi, he says, I know. Gamani, I know this. I'm not any worse than you guys. It's not like you guys know something that I don't know. Ulamani el Shaddai Adaber. You know what? I'm not going to even speak to you anymore because I don't think you have an answer for me. I'm going to speak to God directly. I want to have a discussion with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, really, the wording is, look at the word. Hocheach is the word of tochacha. I want to give muster to God. I'm going to show God how he's wrong and how he could have made the world better. That's what Eov is saying. Because again, he's getting off now, and he's saying that things are not there. Now, his main flux of this parak is going to ask, I don't get why the Rishayim are so successful. I get that sometimes Tzaddikim have to suffer. I get that Rishayim sometimes have to have success because Rishayim do good things and Tzaddikim do bad things. I get that. That I'm going to understand over here. But it makes no sense why it seems that Rishayim are so successful. These people that are so unbelievably evil, why are they so successful? Right? Why is that possible? How is that possible? Very ulam. Atem tofle sheker. But you guys, he's saying to the guys that are sitting around to Bildad and to Eliphaz and to Sofar, he says, you guys just add on to all the lies that you've told up to until now. You've been lying to yourself and you just add on to it. Rofia lil kulchan. You're worthless physicians. Physicians that have no ability to heal and no idea what you're talking about in the
quacks.
First place. Quacks? I wrote that in there? That's cute. It says, mi tain hacharish tachrishun. Who would only give for you guys to just shut up? That's the line. Just stop talking. Then you might be considered wise.
So
because
why don't
we all
they
know
stop?
That the wisest people are the people that don't talk.
So yeah. Why don't they stop?
The Eliphaz and whatever, we learned the way that we understood up until now is because when they heard the blasphemy that was coming out of Eov's lips,
they felt
like that to say them. Now, Eliphaz had a nevuah in his mind, or according to the Gemara, he had a nevuah. And that's what he said, I heard from God, I saw in a dream. So he felt he had to say it out loud because he saw it in a dream. Bildad and Sofar were just backing it up. Bildad by saying, I feel like there's something coming out from me. And Sofar, he just said, this makes sense. Let me tell you the Svara, just do better and everything should be okay. It's just a Svara on his part. But they all felt that they had something to add to Eov, but they didn't mean to take him down this badly, unfortunately.
Can you like read, at and say, Gamani, like, lo nofal ani mikem was like, I'm not more or less of a sinner than you guys are. So
I
like,
get, yeah, for sure.
What's the musar?
For sure. In other words, there's no, and maybe they were even saying that. They were just like, yeah, you're worse. No, they couldn't have been saying that they were worse than them. That can't be.
No, he's saying that he's not.
Yeah, I'm not worse than you, or yeah. You're not worse than me. So, yeah, yeah. I love the line though that you're plastering over with lies. You don't even mean to lie. You guys are lying to yourselves if you honestly think that that's the way the world runs. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just punishing me for my sins, because Eov is guaranteeing them I did not sin this badly. There is no way I could have done anything that's this bad that deserves something like this. Now here it says, Shimu Nasal Chachti. Please listen to my tochacha. to my muster that I want to give to God and my reasoning for what I'm saying. Verivos vasayak shivu, and listen to the arguments that are coming out from the lips. Just tell me if it makes sense or not. That's all I want to know. I just want to know if it makes sense what I'm trying to say. Now that's what he's asking from his friends. Rav Schwab adds in over here, he says, as a personal note, he says, as a part of his rabbinical duties, he says, people come to him. That takes a lot of time, whether it's tzaros, their troubles, their arguments, and the other problems. So Rav Schwab, I don't have the answer for them, but I do know what they want. They all want me to listen. They need a listening ear. Just me to nod my head and be able to say to them, I hear you, and to feel that. He says, most people, in most conversations, people don't really listen to each other. They rebut against themselves what they would have said if they were in the other person's position, as opposed to hearing the other person and going back. The lack of listening is usually the problem behind most arguments. It's a great line from Rav Schwab, but that's what Eov is trying to say to his friends. He's just like, just tell me if I make any sense. Like, I hear what you guys are saying. Just tell me if my reasoning makes any sense. He says, Hala'el tidaberu avla, would you speak bad things for the sake of God? Because again, you're saying that God would only punish me if I did wrong, and I promise you I did not do anything wrong. So would you speak crookedness in the words of God? The lo tidaberu remia, would you speak to him about deceit, about bad things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? Hafan of Tisa'un, are you going to lift up, you're going to show favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and La'el Tarivun? Are you going to fight for God? Hatov Kiachor Eschem, is it good, would it be good if he would search you out, if he would look and investigate within you guys and see if you really believe what you're saying? Im Kahasel Ba'anosh Tehaseh Lubo, are you not mocking him as you would a mortal man? You're picturing God as just a mortal person. Well, you did something wrong, so he's immediately going to punish you. He's going to punish you because you did something wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't act that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't act that way. There's no way that that would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is really Eov's whole problem in the first place. The whole line of, well, you sinned, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing you for it. Eov's like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, because there are so many people who do worse than me who are not getting punished. And there are so many people who aren't doing things that badly, and yet they're getting punished for it. It makes no sense. That's what he's saying. Are you considering like a man? He could prove, if he would prove it to you, could you secretly lift up your face and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing? Halo se'eso tva'es. If he lifted your faces up, if he allowed you to see what he was doing, wouldn't you be embarrassed? You'd be shocked. When his fear will fall upon you. You guys simply make it out to be like, oh, it's so simple. It's simple. You did something wrong, you get punished. Says Eov, there's no way it's that simple. Do you honestly think that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought you up after 120, that's what you're going to see? You're going to see that? You're going to see that people are just, oh, there we go. He did something wrong there, and therefore he got punished. There's no way. Zichroneinem, zichronechem, mishlei efer. Your words are parables filled with dust and dirt, as if worth nothing. Legabe chomer gabeichem. It's comparable to your backs of clay. You're from the dirt, so you made up mushels of dirt. That's the basic idea over here. It's not enough. Hachrishu mimeni v'adabrani. So be silent for me for a little bit. Let me speak. V'yavor alai ma. Right? And let whatever happens to me, happen. And then if I die because I'm being a blasphemer and I'm saying something horrible about a Kadosh Baruch Hu because I'm about to give muster to God, then I die. And I'm okay with that, says Eov, because that's what my life has been. My life has led up to this point and I'm done.
He's expecting the lightning bolt to come down.
Oh, it'd be so awesome for him, right? That's really what he wants. Yeah. He's suffering so badly.
Right, and right. So yeah. That's the thing. He seems like almost like he wants to die, so mm-hmm. He wants to avenge his frustrations. Mm-hmm. And
and he's just like, I didn't do anything to deserve the previous punishments, but now I am doing something so bad I just want to die
so
from it.
So it's almost like he's suicidal in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He keeps saying, I'm willing to die. Two prakim ago, right before Tzofer spoke, he said, I'd rather die rather than see another day. Remember, in the very beginning, he said, I hope I die before I say blasphemous words. That was in the first line to Eliphaz. In his first, line to Eliphaz, he said, I don't want to say any blasphemous words. That was before he had said anything. Then he was like, there's no Ashgacha Pratis. Then he's like, I don't know if God is around in the first place, right? Believing that there is a God, but that I don't know if God is paying attention at all. So that's what he's saying. Alma es visari vishinoi, right? So he says, on anything, I'll carry my flesh in my teeth. I'm willing to put my life in my hands. What he literally saying is like, he's picturing imagery, picture a man who's like biting his lips and trying not to say what he's going to say, but he's going to say it anyway. He's like trying to hold it back, but my suffering is so much, I have to say what I'm going to say. I'm putting my soul in my hands. Hein yiktaleni, and even if God kills me, and here's the big line, lo ayachel. Now the line, the wording is lamed aleph. That's how you read it. It sounds like I don't hope for him at all. Like I gave up hope. The pasuk comes and tells us we have a kri over here that we have lamed vav lo ayachil. Even if God kills me, I will always hope to God. The Chazal are saying that Eov's line over here was not truly that I hope to die and I have no hope that anything, or I just want to give up and I have nothing to do with God. No, no, no. He really meant down inside, I hope to God and I daven to God even when he kills me. After even my ways, right? Even if I reprove him straight to his face, nonetheless, I understand, right, that this is my life and I have to do what I need to do. Gamhu li Yeshua, this in and of itself, me speaking and saying out these words to God will be a salvation for me. Because a hypocrite cannot come in front of him. We said that there's a difference between a chanef and a chanaf. Chanef is the hypocrite. Chanaf is the guy who flatters other people. Shimu shamo milasi. Listen to my words, v'achvasi ba'aznechem, and my speech in your ears. Hine no arachti mishpat. I am giving a judging case, arranged a trial, so to speak. Yadati ki ani etzak. And I know that I'm going to be vindicated. I know that I'm going to win this case if I go up against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a crazy line over here. Mi yori v'madi. Who is going to fight me with this? Ki ato, right? Ki ato acharish v'agva. Because if you fight me and you're right, then I'll be silent and I'll die and I'm done. Because if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Ach shtayim al tasi madi. But don't do two things to me. Ozmi panecha losser, and then I won't hide from your face itself. What's the idea behind the two things that he's asking for over here? He's saying, listen, I don't want both. Don't give me all this suffering in this world and then let me to continue to live. Don't do those two things for me. If you're going to make me suffer, let me die after giving up hope and totally saying, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm done. Let it be at least. Or at least give me my Olam Haba. Let me have the next world. If I suffered enough in this world, let me get something in the next world. Take your hand away from me. And stop causing me to be trembling in fear, saying to God. You call out and I'll answer. Or I will speak and you will answer me. Which one do you want? Do you want me to start speaking or do you want to start speaking? Do you want to tell me something and I'll answer you back? Or do you want me to start speaking and you tell me what you think? Commonly avonos v'chatos. How many avonos and chatos, pishi v'chatos yodieni, my peshas and my chatos, tell me, how much have I done? Tell me what I've done. What have I done in my lifetime? What have I done throughout my whole life? Tell me, God. Put them right here in front of me. Let's put it on the scale. Show me how much I have and show me what I've actually done wrong. It takes a lot of guts to be able to say that to God. I don't think any of us would have the guts to be able to say that. I don't think anybody really wants anybody to, you know, to say what our sins are. But he says, Lama tenecha panecha tasir. So he waits a second. And then he says, why are you hiding your face, God? And consider me as an enemy toward you. Why am I your enemy? What did I do wrong? Ha'alah nidof ta'arot. Would you crush a leaf that's just flowing in the wind? Right? I'm doing nothing. I'm a little leaf. Are you going to chase away a dried piece of straw, which is what I am right now, a dying man with nothing left? What did I do? Kisichto v'lai maroros. When you write bitterness against me, and you tell me that I'm going to get these bitter decrees, you're getting me over here. So we say, V'tori sheni avonus nuroi? Is this really a Yerusha from the sins I had when I was a youth? Yeah, when I was a kid, maybe I sinned a bunch. Maybe I did something that was wrong when I was 12, 13 years old. I made fun of a person in my class. Really? These punishments that I'm getting right now is because of something that I did when I was younger? Because I can't think of anything that I've done over the last 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever it is, 70 right now. I don't know what I've done. You're telling me this is all because of my youth? As my friends are telling me over here, batosim basad ragai. You're putting my feet into stocks. You know the stocks. It's like that wooden thing. You put your hands and your feet and your head in there. Right. Putting that through. V'sishmor kol or chosai. And you're going ahead and you're guarding all of my roads. Anywhere I can go, al shorshe ragli tischako. You're enclosing the roots of my feet itself. V'ukarakov yivle. It's like rotting matter. It's like I'm literally rotting. Kevegera chaloash. Like a moth eaten garment. If you've ever seen a moth-eaten garment before with little holes all over, that's what I feel like, says Eve. I feel like I have absolutely nothing. Is that really what you're doing over here? That makes absolutely no sense. So clearly Eve is in crazy amounts of pain. Clearly he's done with hearing all the excuses. He's calling God to court and saying, bring in the witnesses, bring in everything. Tell me what you got, God, because I don't think it's right. And that's what he said. Where's your response? That was Eve's line over here. Now the friends have kept silent. They did not say anything throughout this whole mock court case, so to speak, right? They're allowing him to speak. So it says, the Iyov goes on, and he says, Adam Ilud Isha. Adam is born from a woman. Kitsar Yamim, he lives short amount of days, especially nowadays, and maybe in Iyov's days, Iyov was to live to 210. But by our days, 100 is a blessing. I don't know anybody who, not too many people, I should say, who live over the age of 100. Usva Roges, and there is tons of trouble throughout the person's life. Throughout the person's life, it's very, very difficult. I have a grandmother and grandfather on my mother, on my wife's side, right? So I was sitting down, I was talking to them about 2 weeks ago. We sat down and we were talking about everything, this and that and the other. And then I said, you know, what do you do during the day now? So my grandma is a very active person. She played tennis up until the age of 90, right? Oh. So she's 91, 92, something like that, somewhere around there. And she said, you know, I don't know much to do. All my friends are dead. That was it. Yeah, they live in their own house. They're able to take care of themselves and whatever, my grandmother and grandfather. But, like, she's got no friends left. She has, like, younger friends and whatever it is, but, like, she doesn't have anybody that... It's a difficult life. So he's depressing. Calling that, even if they're right, it's tremendously depressing. It was Svarogas. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I remember asking my Rebbe a serious question, but it was never taken seriously. I'm like, we always ask for Arichos Yomim for long days, but why do I want to be in a 100-year-old person? What's there for it? I can give answers now, but in eighth grade, I was 13 years old. I'm looking at him like, what's the point? What's the point? I can hear it as a 13-year-old kid. You can give, like, you know, you can give answers, but try telling that to a little kid. No, honey, it's great to be that person in the wheelchair. It's great to be that person who can barely talk and barely whatever it is. I'm not.
So why don't we ask for Arichos Yomim and health, meaning so they're not in the
wheelchair? That's the line. You have to wish for more than that. But I think that takes a lot more ishtadlus. I don't think you can just daven for that. To be able to be that person who's 100 years old and healthy and able to walk around and whatever it is, I think you need more bracha. You need your friends with you. You need more than just that.
There's no ishtadlus you can do.
You need not to be healthy.
Turns out that's what
it says.
Like, you have no idea. Well, actually, you shouldn't have this because they're actually carcinogens. You have no idea. Every 10 years, it changes. So
you're right. No, no, no. He's right. Don't try. It's fine. I still think you should work out. I think that's important. That's something you should still somewhat do. But it says kitzitz yatsa. Now you're going to see some of these lines over here are very similar to some of the things that we say during the slichos upcoming in Elul. Kitzitz yatsa. It comes out. You emerge like a flower vayimol, and you wither and you're gone. Vayivra katzel v'lo yamod. You run away like a shadow and you don't stay in place. It's gone. It's all gone. And that's the idea behind it. So he says af al ze pakachta einecha. Even on this. Right, you have to look with your eyes. Do you really want me to bring into judgment with you? Do you really want me to go through your? I don't understand. What in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given us everything we have over here, and you're expecting me not to sin? I don't have a lot of time in this world. I don't have a lot of chachma. A lot of my time is wasted on stupid pursuits. Like I have to work, I have to sleep, I have to eat. Right, and there's no choice. What are you leaving me with? And you're expecting me to be perfect as well? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is your fault, not mine. It's yours. It's all on you. It's all on you. Why did you make me this way? You could have made me so much different. And this is what you made me as. You made me in this. So the truth is, in a little time out of here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create us that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as Adam Rishon before the Chet. That's something that does come into play a little bit. But he did create man in a perfect world, in a perfect situation. And Adam Rishon chose, along with all of mankind, to be in the world that we are today, to be challenged and to be able to grow.
Of the matter is, you were born into this world.
But the world
situation.
That I am, right. The world that I am in, I had no choice, so to speak. And it's not over there. But you're right. I mean, it's a really, really difficult thing to be able to go through.
The ability for Adam Rishon to do the fate. And then he also knew that before Adam Arishon did it, that he was going to do it.
Okay, but you can't talk about time. Okay.
No, so I'm saying it's a person can complain in that way, or whatever, not technically.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, Rav Schwab brings two different examples over here, which are really interesting over here. He says, number one, to illustrate the profound influence that a tiny object can have, he says, one need only look at the tiny gland in the neck which controls growth, right? The pituitary gland inside a person's body over here. So the gland is so small it's hardly visible with the naked eye, but it excretes a hormone which is so powerful that it controls the growth of a person. Too much of it could make the person grow into a giant, Robert Wadlow, right, and be 8 foot 11, right, and go out. But a deficiency causes dwarfism, a person to be not more than 2-3 feet tall. When one sees such a person, there is a bracha that you make, Baruch Mashana Abrios, etc., and things like that. There are brachas to be able to make, but it's all based on one tiny little gland, which is so tiny, right? It's barely there, and unfortunately, you see the results in other people, like Georgie Murison, right?
You don't want to smell like me.
Gigantism. It's just weird.
What? You make the bracha, you see like a... Like a dwarf from like in...
Only
like
if it shocks you. In real life, it shocks me. I one time made the bracha, and it was just because I was literally... It was Machne Yehuda. Apparently, there's a bunch of them, but there was one person that walked by me. I honestly thought it was... I thought it was a joke. I feel horrible saying it, but he was walking right by me, and I had no idea. Like, absolutely no idea. He was right above my knee, and we were crossing across the street, and I just opened my mouth, and I was like... I'd never seen a dwarf up before. No, never, not in real life. Yeah. And I was so shocked by it. I thought it was like a pretending. I like looked around for like a camera, and then I realized, oh, it's a person. It wasn't a I was so shocked. That's when I made the bracha. Not obviously to his face, to myself. But like, you know, I was shocked.
Hold on,
I can't believe this.
I'm sorry.
Extra cover.
A real giant? No. I've never seen a person over 7 feet.
What constitutes that?
You can go to a basketball game and watch George Mirishan, then you make the bracha?
Yeah, technically.
He's considered a giant. He plays, it's at the Paralympics, he plays for like the volleyball team. Because
really?
He's so tall that he can't, his legs won't support
him. He can't move.
He's 8 foot like nine.
Who is this?
It's this, he plays for the Iranian volleyball team.
I know him. No, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He's the second to tallest person in the world.
Yeah,
I know who he is.
You're like, I know him. I thought you were like, oh, yeah, we sat next to him. I'm killing
him. We're besties.
He's
I think it's more like...
He plays for the volleyball team. Everyone there has like no arms, no legs, but he just can't stand. So he's on his knees.
He's on his knees the whole time, but even then...
Even on his knees, he's still over the net.
It's really crazy.
Over the net?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. He says another thing, the same thing applies to the congenital disorder known as Down syndrome, which is caused by an extra chromosome, where the chromosome, obviously, is so tiny, it's visible only under a powerful microscope. This is Rav Schwab, right? So under a powerful microscope, as are the human genes, which determine the makeup and the characteristics of a person, right? Yet these tiny components of the human body whose existence would not ever be known without the help of a microscope make all the difference between the birth of normal or abnormal children and are the cause of huge variations in the physical aspects of a person. So he's trying to say, Pakatena, do you realize what these people are? We're nothing. We're literally nothing. A tiny, tiny, tiny little thing can change everything about us. And he says on this, mi tein tahor mi tame. Who in the world can bring out something tahor from something tame? Lo achod. It's impossible. There's not anyone around here. There is absolutely impossible over here. Yeah, and that's what he's saying. He's saying the zera that creates a human being, this is, by the way, the idea of original sin, which Christianity has, which is not a concept that we hold of, but the concept of original sin, that every man is doomed to failure from the beginning. That you're already darned if you do, darned if you don't, without anything, right? The concept is right here. It's from Eov, mi tein tahor mi tame. Now, again, we don't hold this way because this is Eov still in his throes of pain. But nonetheless, mi tein tahor mi tame, there is no way you can have something tahor come from zera. It's impossible, right? And the answer is 100% there is a way to make tahor from tame. The answer is that 100% the point of our lives is to bring our tame existences and make them something tahor. We have to eat, so we make a bracha on it. We have certain things that we have to do, chiyuvim that we have to do, so we make sure it's done in a tahor way, not in a tame way. We
can create something very different.
What does it say?
Mayitain da kemin gevardista ef bechovin. I mean, who's going to make somebody tahor from somebody who is so dirty with sin?
How can he become better?
Meaning, it'll be God who is one who will. Meaning,
he spoke like that will save him. That will be able to
meaning,
bring him out.
I mean, he's going into
very
much
good. That's
Russia.
A good line. That's a totally different idea, right? He's trying to say who's going to be able to do tshuva if not for a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving a siyata d'shmaya to do it properly. But he says over here this line. The Medrash mentions over here mi tein tahor mi tame lo echad. We say lo echad. There's always one person in a generation who's that tall or who you can learn from. He gives examples of Avram Avinu, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, people like that that were right around there. And even then, we have a Gemara in Gittin. If anybody went on in that Gemara about the Horban Gemaras, it's a Nun Zayin Mabez in Gittin. Mibnei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torah B'mei Brak. the children of Sisra, right? I forgot what they were. They were Gerit Tzedek. Nebuzaradan became a Gerit Tzedek. Naaman became a Gerit Toshav. That's a great question. Nebuchadnezzar did not. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be Megayer, according to the Gemara, and the Malachim said no and wouldn't let him in. Kadosh Baruch Hu took away his desire to become Jewish. But we have Sanherib's descendants of Shmaya Naphtali.
He's like, you know what, maybe I'll become Jewish.
Yeah, Nebuzaradan did that.
No, I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes, I don't know where or when, but it was the same thing with Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan, according to the Gemara, became a Gerit Tzedek after he killed hundreds of thousands of Jews. Slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jews.
Wasn't that just that an amount? Isn't that an exaggeration? How could one person kill hundreds of thousands of people?
I don't think himself. The armies.
Saying that people were concentrated in one place. I mean, with the gas chambers,
it's 10,000. After murder or being involved in the murder of that many people. Yet, nonetheless, if you look at the Navi when he speaks to Yirmiyah, what unbelievable lashon he uses to speak to Yirmiyah.
His Nebuzaradan rather than the butcher. Respect for each other.
It's just amazing.
And also, Yirmiyah was the one prophesizing
that it was going to happen.
But still,
nonetheless, the respect. You see those lines in Yirmiyah Memalef, I think. The line that he uses toward Yirmiyah, you decide whatever you want to do, however you want to go about your life, we will be supportive of you. It's the craziest. While he's leading these people with chains over to Bavel and like whipping them, right? But Yirmiyah, it's crazy. Nonetheless, regardless, who can bring it out? It happens. It does happen. We have, unfortunately, horrible, horrible human beings where you have great things that came from them. So the answer is, it does happen. Im charutzim yamav mispar chadashav. If his days are decided, mispar chadashav itach, the number of his months is with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chukav asisa v'lo yabor. You made him with limitations, let's say, that he can never pass. He will never be able to go over this. So what Eov is really asking is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to make him with these limitations, at least allow him to have certain things that he'll need in order to fulfill his work over here. Number one, it's clearly, if life has no meaning, then why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother us with anything during this short lifespan? Just let us have fun and let us be done and just be out of here and that's that. If life does have a meaning and you have a task to be able to do, then give us whatever we need to do our tasks so that we can do it easier. You're hiring us as a worker, right? You're getting the guy, you're just like, David, come work with me. Okay, now just go. What do I do? Figure it out.
You can make the same argument, though, and say that if God made it so easy for you, it's the same thing as letting you come into this world and letting you
there you
have
go.
Fun.
That's the response. The response has to be that there has to be a job that, look, everybody has a job to do, and there are hints, and you got to figure it out from the hints. And every person should know, it's not always as obvious, but you have basic ideas and basic, you know, leanings, tendencies, something that's leaning you toward doing something, and it's there. That has to be the answer. But Eo's problem is, I don't understand. I don't understand what I'm supposed to do over here. That's the idea behind it. He gives an example, he gives a mashal over here. When one wants to become a shochet, right? So you can't just stop and go over there. What do you have to do? You have to go to you have to sharpen your knife, bring it over to the bodik, the person who's going to check out your shchita, make sure that it's all good. You know what the bodik does? So I did this when I became a shochet. It didn't last very long, but when I became a shochet, the guy took my knife. You know what he did? Took a table, bam, 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 bam. It's like all these nicks and whatever it is, it's terrible. He's like, sharpen it, bring it back. Your job is to take that knife and sharpen it back and then bring it back to the bodic and say, is this a good knife?
Really, like the first time you wanted to see if you know how to sharpen it?
That's the main thing. The main thing behind a shochet is your knife has to be completely clear without any...
I understand, but why did he...
Why did he do it?
He wanted to see that you know how to sharpen the knife properly?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that by far is the hardest part. The shechita itself is not a problem. The shechita itself is... I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easy. It's pretty easy. The issue is...
Are you talking about big animals or little animals?
Small animals. I've never done a goat. Right, but I've never done a cow for sure. Right, but by chickens, it's not that hard in turkeys. You got it back and forth, and you got to make sure that I can't put pressure. Drisa halada. But either way, regardless, but it's not that hard. It's like it's easy once you get used to it. The first chicken I killed, but you know the rest of them, I was pretty okay.
Did you eat any of your chickens?
No, you're not allowed to. The first five chickens.
No, I'm saying, did you ever get to the point where you were...
I could have. I didn't. I think I left it in the fridge for too much, and then look at that. I left it in my.
You left it in the fridge on purpose because you were scared to eat it, or you left it in the fridge?
I totally blame my wife on this one. I brought it home. I brought it in. It was a whole chicken. I'm like, let's do it. And she's like, you killed this? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay. And then a week later, I'm like, hey, when do we have the chicken? She's like, we didn't. So I 100% blame her.
It was still feathers. It had his feathers in?
No,
it was just like
a
dead carcass?
I tore off the... It was the regular thing. Yeah, it was the regular... It looks like a regular chicken that you buy at a store.
Oh, you tore off the skin?
Yeah, I tore off the skin, whatever.
And did you salt it? Did you salt it also?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we did the, what's it called? Oh, we did the regular thing. Yeah, we did the regular thing.
Oh, so it was basically when
you... Yeah, that was fine. It was that. So the Kabbalah itself. So either way, that's the way you got to do it. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into the world, and sometimes we're like a real knife, and then boom, 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 and he gives it back to us. And he says, you want to be an expert. You want to be a shochet. So do it. That's the idea behind it. There's imperfections. So what does he say over here? He says, Kiesh le'etz tikva. There's hope for a tree. Why? Im yikareis v'od yachalif. If he cut off a branch, don't worry, it's going to grow again. Yonakto lo sechtal. The roots will never stop. Im yaskim ba'aretz shorsho. If the root becomes old in the ground, but ofer yomuskizo, right, and the trunk dies in the dust, nonetheless, meiriach mayim yafriach. From the water coming by, it'll sprout out again. V'asa katzir kamonata. It's going to be produce something, growth, just like a little plant. The gevri yomusviachalosh. But a man dies and weakens, v'yigva advayo. Then all of a sudden he's perishing. Then what? Then what happens to him? Now, obviously, the answer is that, well, don't worry, he has children, and the children live on for him, etc. But I guess his point is, but the tree isn't living again. The tree is, you know, is the tree can live again while this person doesn't. Truth is, I don't know, trees don't live that long. Many trees die.
Yeah, see it all over. The world after.
Ah, but right now he's denying. He's denying that there's anything in Olam Haba. Ozlu mayim iniyam. When the waters have left the ocean, menariach rabi yavesh, the rivers, right, parch up and dry up. The ishacha v'lo yakum. Right, a man, right, lies down, he won't get up again. Ad bilti shamayim lo yakitzu. Right, until there is no heaven, until there's no heaven or there, they won't wake up. V'lo yoru mishnasim. There's nothing to be able to wake them up from their sleep. Mi'item bish ol tatzbineni. Would that you just hide me in the grave? And that's that, Tastirani, hide me in there. Just put me inside. Ad shuva pecha, until your anger is gone. Tushisli chok v'tisgreni. Then you give me a limited time, then you remember me. Basically, you'll be saying, why don't you just kill me for now? Put me in like a deep coma, so I don't have to, you know, whatever, deal with your wrath. And when you're fine again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're, you know, you're not angry anymore, you know, this happens. People get angry, they start smacking things, whatever it is, right? When you get back, then, you know, you wake me up and you'll be like, okay, you've come back. And I'll be like, oh, much better. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why don't you just allow that to happen to me? If a man dies, right, do you think he's really going to live? All the days of my army service, he's calling his life his army service, working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad bo chalifasi, I anticipate the time when I could exchange my life and be done, or whatever it is. He thinks that Tzchias HaMeisim, he has absolutely no confirmation. And the truth is, and Rav Schwab says this is a non-Jew's version of Tzchias HaMeisim. This is not our version of Tzchias HaMeisim. There is what to learn from it, but it is not what we think. He just thinks, like, eh, you're basically going to bring me back, and I'll bring back into a new form, and I'll try again. And that's what it'll be like. Sort of, yeah. Almost like a Gilgal. Tikra vanuchi aneka. Right, then you call, and I'll answer you. Lamasiya dechatech sof. You'll eagerly await, right? I guess you would say, you'd eagerly await everything that your handiwork has done. Kiata tzaditi spor. But now, you just count my steps until I'm gone. Lo sishmar chatasi. Right, you don't wait for me to sin. You just want me to die and start over. Chasum bitzur pishi. My sin is enclosed in a bevatifo avoni, right? And I guess you've sealed it with clay and you completely covered it up. But ulam, har no fil yibol. But it's true. Even a mountain eventually will collapse. Vitzur yatakmin komen orak will come out from its place. Avon mishach kumayim. The water will erode the stones. I have the greatest picture of this. It was a place. Where was it? It was in Vancouver where they had three rocks, and they had three different puddles going into it, showing what happens when water erodes rocks. It's amazing. It's like, literally, like you're looking at Rebbe Akiva, and one, it says, it's been doing it for 15 years, one was 25 years, one was 50 years.
Where they had that suspension bridge.
Yeah, you're right, Capilano suspension bridge. You've been there?
Yeah.
Amazing thing. By the way, Tishtov Sficheho, I guess sweeps away all the aftergrowths, afar aretz, v'tikvas anosh avadato, and the hope of man you totally destroy. Tiskefeu lenetzach, it overpowers him completely forever. Vayelochen, it's gone. Mishana panavet shalcheu, it changes his face and sends him away. Yechbedu vanav, his sons might be honored. V'lo yida, he'll have no idea. He's dead. V'yitzaru v'lo yavin lamo, if they suffer, he has no understanding of it. Right? That's the line that Eov says, as if you don't know what's going on after death. This is not necessarily true. How much a person knows when a person is dead is up for debate. That's in the Gemara and Brachos in the beginning of the second parak. Daf Yud Ches, there is a bit of a machlokas, how much a person knows. But it is clear you at least know something. You do know what's going on in this world, at least to your children. Ach besaro lov yichav, his flesh pains him. That's all he knows. He knows that his flesh is being eaten by worms. Benafsho olav tavol, and his soul mourns over him. His nefesh stays above him. Now, we do learn from this over here, that the nefesh of a person stays with the body after a person's death. The ruach apparently flies up, whatever that means, and the neshama is gone completely, that attaches itself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the nefesh stays with a person. If a person goes to a cemetery, you have the ability to connect with the nefesh. Of course, in Tuma, that's a possibility, and that's the idea of Holech Dorish HaLamesim, etc., right? But in Tahara, there's a way of doing so. I don't know how, but apparently there is something like that.
What
but there
mean?
Is something.
There's three parts. I mean, where's the...
Well, there's also the Chaya and Yechida, but I don't get this stuff because Kabbalah and I'm not Sephardi. So eventually, maybe I'll get it. But this is a Rebbe Raka question. Who is definitely going to say to you, I don't know. But that's a question that I have to ask. I don't know. I don't know how it connects. Yeah, no idea. Either way, but that's
convert.
The idea.
Maybe
I'm trying
the answer.
So badly. Tes Vav, everyone. I think this will be our last part for today. But that was Eov's line. Now Eliphaz comes back. Now you think that Eliphaz is going to come back, and he's like, I'm so sorry, Eov, I didn't mean to. And that would probably end the book right there. Eov would be like, thank you. That's that. But Eliphaz is going to be really, really strong. This is going to be really powerful. Vayana Eliphaz of Taimani Vayomar. Eliphaz of Taimani came along, and he said the following. Now, here he's going to use a lot of things. He's going to ratchet up his arguments over here and say, it's clearly evident from the fact that you're arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again that I mistook you. I thought you were a tzaddik gomor who did a couple sins and therefore you deserve to be punished. I was wrong. What happened to you, your suffering, has shown that you were always a rasha gomor the entire time. You were never a tzaddik. You were a massive faker, a hypocrite, right? And you really never believed in God the entire time. That's what he tells him. He's like, it's okay, clear to me friends. Now. I know. It's clear to me now that you were never a good person in the
but
first
maybe
place.
Maybe they had this kind of relationship. I know as difficult as it seems from the give and go, but I mean, nowadays this is not the type of you know discussion people
Gemara
have with each other.
I definitely hear you. We'd have to find the the Gemara brings down in the Gemara of Vavasra. O chavrusa ke chavrusa de Iuv. Either have friends like the friends of Iuv, o misusa or death. Now, it seems that the Gemara understood that the friends of Eve were really good friends, but then they turned on him once they saw what Eve did. So the
but
question
are they
is,
turning on
the
him, or are they
that?
Just telling him like it is, at least how they perceive it to
either
be?
Way, friends shouldn't do that. But definitely, the line from the Gemara seems to indicate that they truly were friends at one point, but no longer. They
I mean,
turned
the
around.
Gemara says that they turned on him with this?
No, it doesn't. Just the line from the Gemara is, O chavrusa
so,
chavrusa
so
Eov.
I would interpret that as saying that, like, meaning...
Have friends that tell you the truth?
They tell you the truth. They perceive it. Maybe he was... It seems he was wrong, and at the end, maybe at the very end, perhaps they acquiesce and say, okay, you were right. But once they get the...
I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear it. I would take it a different way, but I definitely hear what you're saying.
Because the Gemara doesn't infer that they broke up with him as, you know,
the
over this.
It's by Rabbi Yochanan. It's mentioned by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was at the end of his life, and he couldn't find Reish Lakish. He said, O chavrusa chavrusa d'Iov o misusa. That's where it says it over there. So it sounds like you got to have... So you're right. Reish Lakish was an argumentative type of person.
They challenged him to, like, everything that he said.
To be better, but it sounds like he was challenging him for the better. Like, Reish Lakish was challenging him for the better, not for the worse. Here, this is definitely for the worse. I don't think they were...
But it
I don't
seems
know, maybe
like
you're right. Maybe they were trying to do it in their own way. They're trying to be it over there.
They're having this whole discussion over, you know, philosophy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's just they clearly see that he's turned. Eov has turned, and they don't like it. And they just say, like, this is, it's got to be something is happening right now. So let's see what he says. He says, "Chacham yana das ruach." Does a wise man answer with stupid reason, with windy answers? You know, like, Eov, you're a smart guy. You're a smart guy. What you just said is really dumb. Right? You're going to fight against God, right? You don't understand how these things are working? Come on, dude. He's saying, being Mali Kadin bit no, what, he's going to fill his belly with the eastern wind so you just blow it out afterward? You're speaking words that are just filled with wind. That doesn't reflect who you are. Hocheach bidover lo yiskon. Are you going to use an argument that really does not have any benefit whatsoever? You're obviously not going to get an answer from God, right? That's not going to happen. Are you really expecting that? Umilim lo yoobam, and words that are not going to help whatsoever. What's your point, Eov? What do you want us to do? What do you want God to do? You really think he's going to answer? Like, God, answer me. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer? The funny thing is, in the end, God answers him. That is what happens. So Eov, at the end of the day, does hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That is exactly what happened over here, which is absolutely amazing. Now, Rav Schwab goes on over here, and this is a famous Rav Hirsch, where he says, there's such things as wind and whatever it is, right? He says that his answers are winds and whatever and stuff like that. But the Medrash uses these as a criticism of Abram and Yaakov. That, where is it? HaChocham Yana Das Ruach. How could such a smart person say something so bad? So the line is, by three different cases, by Abram, you know, when he married Hagar. The Medrash says, how could you marry Hagar when you knew what was going to be at the end? What does that mean? That Abram, you know, looked at Hagar and Sarah Imenu told him to marry her, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can listen to Sarah. Right? You can listen to Sarah. What Avinu should have argued back is, Sarah Avinu, what's wrong with you? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu promised you a kid, he promised you a kid. Let's wait a little bit longer. We don't need another person in the house. And because he didn't do that, we see what the result is. Now again, Avinu is the paradigm of chesed and the greatest obviously, we have everything out there. But Rav Hirsch's opinion, and Rav Schwab obviously is a Hirschian philosophy, he's a Talmud of Rav Breuer, who's a Talmud of Rav Hirsch. His line is that the Torah puts things in there not to show us people that are impossible to emulate, but people who have made mistakes, learned from, and became even greater because of it. This was, according to the Medrash and according to Rav Hirsch, a mistake on Avraham Avinu's part. That was a mistake, and he should have done something different. He didn't, and therefore he bore the results, which was Yishmael and Yitzchak had issues with each other. That's one. The second one is Yaakov Avinu speaking back to Rachel. Rachel Avinu said, Havali banim, give me children. And Yaakov says back, what am I, God? Hasachas Elokim ani. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, step back to Yaakov Avinu. That's how you answer a woman who's upset that she doesn't have children, who's sitting with a tzara, who's sitting there with children and everything else. How could you answer a person that way? Now again, Yaakov Avinu must have had his reasons for why he answered Rachel Avinu that way. Maybe he felt that Rachel Avinu was greater than that, deserved a harsh answer for how she had acted when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if he was the person instead. But nonetheless, Yaakov Avinu spoke to her in an improper fashion. Therefore, what, that's how you answer? You answer with words of foolishness for such a person that's that wise? And the third one is that Avraham Avinu left Eretz Canaan to go down to Mitzrayim. Did you not realize what's going to happen to Sarah? That only on the way there he looked and saw her beauty and said, uh-oh, what's going to be when we get down there? Then he should have turned around right there. But instead he went down there. Now again, we have reasons. Avraham Avinu felt that this was compelling enough to be able to go down. He felt that his own desire to stay in Eretz Canaan during a Rav would not supersede his responsibility to take care of the 318 above them and the people that he had with him. Whatever his reasoning was. But nonetheless, did you not see? And according to Rav Hirsch, and this idea from Rav Schwab over here, we learn out from this message over here that sometimes even the greatest people make mistakes. Sometimes even them. Now the Ramban argues, anybody knows that famous Ramban? When the Ramban says that there's no way that anybody has, it's the Ramban, says that there's no way that a person could make such a mistake, and that Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, etc. And Rav Moshe holds with that philosophy so much. I think it's in Chelek Dad, Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet Simen Mem, where he says that anybody, there's like a Ramban that says that Avraham Avinu did five sins. He feels that it's a forgery. There is no way Avraham Avinu could ever be ascribed to having any sin. Rav Moshe is a totally different philosophy.
The Gemara itself says, implies that Avraham sinned because he's not listed on the four people who never did.
Very, very good. Rav Moshe would look at that Gemara and say that's a different issue altogether. Rav Moshe is famous for his lines of like, no, it has to be in Darash Moshe. And when he goes through, he is like adamant that there are no such things as
what was the first thing
others.
That he quoted? That Avraham shouldn't have taken Hagar?
Hagar, yeah. Avraham taking Hagar was one. It's a hard line over here, but the totally different philosophies. Hirschian philosophy versus Rav Moshe, which was Slutsk, which I would assume comes from some type of Musar movement, which you'd assume eventually comes from Yisrael Salanter. I don't know how to define it, which one is, whatever, but each way has their own way. Afata tofer yiro, he says, you destroy fear, v'tigra sich lefne'el, and you diminish your conversation right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Alifa speaking, remember. Ki aleif avoncha, right, picha. Your sins have taught your mouth how to speak. You have chosen very cunning language. He looks over at Yehov and he says, you know what, buddy? I finally get it. Up until now, I really thought you were a tzaddik. But now your words are showing me what kind of a person you really are. You really never believed in this in the first place. You never did. And Chas HaShalom, remember in the very beginning, Eov was said, he was a Yirei Shamayim Ma'od. He was a tremendous, tremendous chacham. Everybody agrees he was the greatest of all time. But Eliphaz looks at him and is like, you were always a liar. You were always a deceiver. Your mouth has made you into a Rasha. Bloni, it's not me, says Eliphaz. I didn't do it. Look at your own lips. Look at what you just said, right? You can no longer hide who you really are. You're a liar. Harishon Adam Tivalid. You should know, were you born before Adam Harishon? Were you the first man? Were you created before the hills? Habesoda Loatishma. Have you heard the secrets of God? V'tigrei lecha chachma. Have all the chachma, all the wisdoms of the world come to you? Mayadat of Lonidol. What do you know that we don't know? Says Eliphaz. Tavin Beloy Manuhu. Something you understand that we don't have. Gamsov gam yasis banu. Gamsov gam yoshish banu. Right? So he says, both old and very smart are together with this. Kabri me'avicha yomim. We're even greater in days than your father. Apparently, I mean, if Eliphaz is the Eliphaz son of Esav, he would have been really old at this time. Over 200 years old, maybe even older. Right, depending on when Eov lived and everything. He's saying, we have old people among us, among your friends. We're older than you. So if you're wondering who is the wisest of the people here, you'd assume it's the people who've lived a little bit longer. Said Eliphaz, me, Bildad, so far, we've been here. We're older people than you. We understand how these things work. Is it so little to you, our consolations that we're trying to give in the name of God? Is it insufficient for you to be able to go through? Now, the answer to that question is, yeah. Your Tanchumen was pretty bad consolation over here. But what he's trying to say is that, listen, I gave you a Nevuah. What did you want me to do? I told you over a Nevuah that I saw from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was that not enough? How is that not enough? If you didn't like the Svara of old people, right? Do you not like the Nevuah? What is your heart? What presumption are you taking? What are your eyes winking about? What do you think? Well, honestly, what do you think by all this? When you turn your spirit back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you say these words out from your mouth, what is mortal man that he should possibly be for? Is it possible for a woman to be righteous? This is, you know, like quoting from Eve, what he was saying. Hein b'kdoshav lo yamin. You know why? You know why people die early, says Eliphaz? Because he doesn't trust his holy ones. V'shamayim lo zakeh b'einav. And even the heavens are not pure enough in his eyes. You know why people die early? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid of what's going to be with them, and he takes them out of the world before they sin badly. There are certain people that die at a very, very, very young age, and perhaps, says Eliphaz, the reason why is because he's afraid. Hein b'kdoshav lo yamin. He doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust them. He's worried about what's going to be at the end of the day. Rabbi Ami, when he came to the statement, it's Gemara in Tinus, came to the statement, he started to cry. If he doesn't even trust his mamin, the people that believe in God, who does he trust? Is there anybody in the world that God trusts? Him, b'kedosha b'yamin, the holy ones he doesn't trust? Who in the world can God trust? And he started to cry. And he realized that there's nothing he can do. In the end of the day, we're never going to live up to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us, from our neshama, from what we have. But that's a line over here. Afkinis oven elach, even if a person is abominable and accursed, ishos akamayim avlo, a man drinks his iniquity like water, he's going to sin. Achavcho, I'm going to show you something. Shmali, listen to me. V'zechazisi v'asapera. This is what I've seen. I'm going to tell it over. Shirchachamim yagidu, wise men will be able to tell us. They're not going to withhold that which they gotten from their fathers. I'm going to tell you a secret now, Eve. Something I didn't say my first time, but I want you to be able to hear this. I want you to know something that I heard myself and something that you can get. Are we going to be able to finish off? We probably won't be able to finish off this paragraph. Let's go a little bit further.
We were talking about before how...
Yeah.
How... You know, is he a friend or is he just, you know, trying to egg him on?
Eliphaz.
I think he is a friend because otherwise, why is Eov sitting there and listening to this?
Well, we 100% agree that he's a friend.
He's acting in a friend and Eov is cognizant of that because why is Eov sitting through this?
Oh, I do. That I 100%
agree. Throw him out
of
your house.
There's no question. Well, he didn't have a house.
Oh, all right. I'm saying like,
he's like in a trailer park somewhere. Yeah. But like, it's harsh language coming from a friend. Nobody would speak that way. To say like, oh, I see you're really a Russia gummer and you've always faked it and you never really were a good person in your whole life because what you're saying right now, that's harsh by any... I would hope that you even a friend that's being honest with me... You would say that to an enemy.
No, no way.
Who do you call a hypocrite? You call your friend a hypocrite? You call an enemy a hypocrite?
When I'm arguing with someone, a friend... They're like asking about these type of things. Like, definitely, I'm going to be like, if they're asking for Musar, of course I'm going to give them.
So you are EO's friends, and I don't necessarily want that as my friend right now. I'd rather have somebody who's be like, let's work it out together, like an H rabbi or something. I think I'd rather have that. I don't think it's going to be the same way. You know what I'm saying? You, on the other hand, you're like Mir Yeshiva, like main base matters. You're not even like. One of the other Balti Midrash. You're like main base measures, like learn or die. I think that's a little harsh. I think you can go a different way. I hear what you're saying.
Eliphaz reached a breaking point.
Yeah, there's no question. I do agree with you, Benjamin. He's a friend. There's no question he's a friend. but he's saying it in such a way, like in his Yisroel Baral type of way, that it's so like harsh. It's crazy that he says such a thing. It is crazy. I'm going to mention, he does mention over here Rav Schwab. I skipped it over because I thought I was going to try to finish. But he says that Talmid Chacham have to be surrounded like the Luchos. The Luchos were surrounded by an Arum that had wood, surrounded by gold on the inside, gold on the outside. That, so to speak, there was gold on the outside. Mibayis michutz titzapenu. You should cover it up on the inside and the outside with gold. Rather, whether that's three different aronos or it's the wood aron surrounded by gold all around, whatever it is going to be that way. In order to be a good person, right, you have to surround yourself with as much good as you can. And even then, listen, he gives the line over here. Dari HaKadosh passed away at the age of 38. The Rama passed away at the age of 42. The Ramchal passed away at the age of 39. There are people who have lived short lives, did amazing things. The Ramchal with his Derech Hashem Mesil Yesharim. The Ramah, do we need to say anything about the Ramah? And the Ari HaKadosh? I don't think there's any question about what the Arizal did. But nonetheless, they died relatively short lives, and they weren't there. Haim Bigdosh of Lo Yamin. We don't know why, and we can't guess that answer why. I would doubt it's because they were going to sin. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took the Arizal out before Chas V'Shalom.
They fulfilled their tafkid in life.
And that's Haim B'Kadosh Aleyamin. That's not Haim B'Kadosh Aleyamin. That's just simply put, because they fulfilled their tafkid, they're out, and whatever it is. But that's something that we have to think of whenever something like this happens. We have to think to ourselves, what is that? It's something out there. That's the line from Eliphaz. Haim B'Kadosh Aleyamin is something that we have to think of. Who knows? Maybe there's Haim B'Shamayim Lo Zakov Einav. There's nobody that does enough in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Although this is still Eliphaz speaking, and it's not a Jew, it's Eliphaz a Taimani. Nonetheless, right, it's something that we can take from and say to ourselves, maybe there's something that we could work on, make ourselves better, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu does have high expectations of us. Maybe they're impossible, but maybe there's something more that we could do. Okay, we'll stop right here for right now, guys. We'll stop right here.